College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.
We love the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and the family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
The numbers game is going to catch up. Taz's men are in control.
And Cage with Dustin on his shoulders and just making it look so easy.
I'm concerned for Arn Anderson.
Yeah, me too. And Cody's being choked out over there. Oh, my God.
It's good to see the referees are Johnny on the spot.
Yeah.
This is a mugging.
It is. And look at calling the shots there is Taz. They got the belt. They got the FTW belt.
And it's not going to be an ornament. It's going to be a weapon.
If I
think I know what I'm talking about.
Oh, he wants him to pull Cody up.
Look, Taz is calling every shot.
Yes, he is.
He's calling the plays. He's sending them in.
They're holding Cody up.
The FTW championship in hand and high.
He's defending.
What?
2001!
18 years! The last match on TNT with Sting beating Ric Flair. And now the Stinger is here on AEW. Mark it down. Wednesday night, December the 2nd, 2020. This crazy year has just gone insane.
I can't believe what I'm seeing! Sting is here! Look at the fans!
The fans are going crazy. Nobody's forgotten. He's a legend, is this man, an icon. He steps in the ring stoically, walking with a purpose, a caution purpose. And these two have never been great friends.
No, sir.
But they may have a common enemy right now.
I can't believe what I'm seeing, Excalibur. I can't believe what I'm seeing.
The first time in 18 years, Sting is back on TNT.
I can tell you this, yes, Cody, other than his daddy, who was his favorite wrestler growing up, they're looking each other eye to eye right now.
I don't think Cody ever expected this, though. No one did!
Sting is on AEW Dynamite. And Darby Allin, what must he be thinking? He might have been a little stinger once upon a time.
I think there were many, many here and many millions around watching Dynamite that remembers March 26, 2001. And here he is again!
Wow, I got chills.
An icy glare exchange between the TNT champion Darby Allin and the TNT legend Sting.
Seeing this man makes me feel young again, Tony.
It's an amazing moment. It's an amazing moment.
We don't know when, we don't know where, we don't know why, we don't know what's next. But we know that right now Sting is on AEW Dynamite. Ladies and gentlemen, the world title still on tap. The main event still to come. What a moment.
Hello and welcome. I am your host, JP John Paz from the Two Man Power Trip. Of course, joining me is the former WWE and ECW World Tag Team Champion, one of the greatest minds and bookers ever in the history of the business, the Games Master, the Taskmaster, the Devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
Excellent, JP. How are you doing, my friend?
Very good, very good. What do you think about the world of wrestling right now, post-WrestleMania, the world of wrestling?
I think it's doing very, very well, don't you?
For sure. I know they had a huge sellout streak going on, but it seems like they're no slowing down as far as right now is concerned. I know The Rock is going to be away a little bit, Roman Reigns is going to be away, but it seems like no slowing down for WWE.
No, and they're going to continue this Bloodline story, especially since they got Fakusan and Jacob Fatu. I mean, it's going to
yes.
be... This is just another chapter going through. Plus, you got Sammy back over. Kevin's over. Randy's come back into the fold. Sheamus is back in. There's so many storylines they're going with. McIntyre, Rollins. I mean, Becky Lynch, Ripley when she gets her leg fixed. I mean, they're loaded. I don't think I've ever seen a group of this depth of talent ever in the wrestling business.
Hey, high praise, for sure. I feel like they're definitely on a roll right now. H is doing a pretty good job as booker.
Unbelievable job. Unbelievable job.
So I had a couple questions come in, just random questions here, and kind of almost pertains to a little bit, because WWE right now, obviously, you got the Cody Rhodes title, which is the WWE title, and the other title, which is the world title, which Damian Priest holds. What did you think when WCW had two belts? I know it's a little bit before you as far as coming in and booking, but WCW had the big gold belt, which was kind of the world title, sometimes known as the NWA title, sometimes known as the international title, sometimes just known as the big gold, but they also had the WCW world title as well. I know right before you came in, Flair and Sting combined the titles and it became just the big gold. But what do you think about that, having two world championships?
Well, I think it's confusing, but it's also been not so much in wrestling, but in boxing. How many champions are there in each weight division? You know what I mean?
Yeah, geez. Yeah.
I saw where Tyson Fury's next match, if he wins, that'll be the first time there's been a unification champion, meaning he's won all the belts since Lennox Lewis.
Wow, so a couple decades there. Wow.
Yeah. So I still don't understand. If one's a world champion, the other one's the universal champion, right?
Yep.
That's the only thing I don't get. Meaning how they've position their programs. Do you get that?
It's weird because Cody's the WWE champion, but then there's also the world champion because Roman combined the titles already and USA complained that they didn't have a champion on the show. So it was weird. It almost feels like that's like the Intercontinental title or the secondary title or like the other title.
Yeah. It just... Maybe this is just me. I know, and I hate add more belts to it, but maybe do you make one the champion of Raw or SmackDown, so they taking care of their commitments with their network. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it seems like almost like that's what they're trying to do, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I think right now, too, though, it's almost getting to be a new point that people aren't making a big thing of it because they're rolling so high right now, you know what I mean? And in fact, I think they're buying into it. I go back to WrestleMania. When Priest won, they wouldn't have got that pop in the combination of Punk, McIntyre, Rollins, and Priest now, if there wasn't the Money in the Bank. And I was not a big Money in the Bank proponent, but it's worked out well for them, and everything they're touching right now is turning to gold.
It does seem like having two champs hasn't hurt them really, but it does feel like Cody's like the real champ, or Roman was like the real champ. The other's kind of secondary. Do you think with WCW, when they had the two champs, that's why they combined it? Because they didn't want to have some like a secondary title. They wanted one major title because there was, you know, a few years there where they had two champs.
Well, I'm just going to assume, like you're mentioning, that not knowing what went on, That's what they did. They didn't want to confuse the people.
When WCW did have two champions, like the WCW champion had the belt, and the, you know, the world champion, the international champion had the big gold belt. It just felt like, okay, I know it's not technically right, but it always felt like whoever the big gold belt was the champion. So when you guys combined it, and then really you take over the book, you combined the big gold belt is just the world title. So to me, it's almost sometimes the look of it, too.
Oh, yeah. The look of it plays a big role in it. I would not be surprised if we see a change in maybe McIntyre or whoever ends up with that belt. When they sort that out, they may change the look of the belt completely.
it seems like they're making all the title belts on Raw have like that big gold belt feel to it. Like the tag titles now almost look like it to a certain extent. The women's title does to a certain extent.
Yeah. So where are we going with that? You're saying that they all look alike?
Yeah, like the Raw brand titles are all going to look alike now. And now the SmackDown titles, it's like they're going in that direction again.
Yeah, I think maybe that's the plan, right? I would think that's the plan. I mean, they're so far above wrestling fans' minds right now. They're so into the wrestling business, the art of the wrestling business. I mean, they're doing some calculations and things that we have no idea what they're doing. You know, I mean, they have it down to, I'm sure, how many T-shirts are sold a day by what talent. I'm sure they have broken down ratings to minute by minute, probably every half a minute. So our take on some of this stuff, we have no idea what they're doing, and we'd have to be a soothsayer to figure out what they're doing now, because it's so above any of us, unless we're in there every day and that's our department and we know what's going on. It's no longer just the wrestling business. It's the business of wrestling now.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think of how they could hyper-focus on something if they wanted to and see how they're doing business-wise with that, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, another question that came in for you, interesting, because we were talking to Mr. Perfect a couple weeks ago, Kurt Hennig, obviously in WCW. They're wondering why Hennig was in the Wolfpack and then out of the Wolfpack. He turned on them, turned heel, and went NWO Hollywood. Was there any specific reason why he didn't stick with the Wolfpack?
No, you know, they were, Scott and Kurt were very tight. Kevin was tight with Kurt, but Kurt and Scott had been tag team partners in AWA, and they were really tight. So it wasn't, I think they were just trying to figure out the best way for Kurt to draw money with them, whether with them or working against them.
Did you not like Hennig at WCW as a babyface? Would you actually prefer him as a heel?
Oh, yeah. I think he's one of the greatest heels. Good babyface, but that heel thing where he spits the gum out, the towel, I mean, the 300-game bowling, you know, the football. He was just Minnesota's greatest athlete, right?
Absolutely, yes. It is funny, like, to think, like, he was a good babyface, but he was so much better as a heel. Just like all that stuff, those skits and everything, he just worked so much better as a heel, I think.
Yeah, I do too.
Even calling yourself perfect, obviously, I mean, that's a lot of hubris there. I mean, a lot of cockiness doing that.
Right.
When you look at Hennig, you definitely were putting him in the Wolfpack to have him turn, right? It wasn't going to be a long term thing. He was just in it to turn on them and turn heel.
Yeah, I as I'm recalling this, we kind of gave Kurt a free hand to decide what he wanted to do. Because, you know, a guy like Kurt draws money. He knows what to do. You might can help him, pushing him in a direction, but I definitely thought he needed to be a heel.
I definitely like him better as a heel, for sure. Good as a face, like I said, but definitely better as a heel. Now, another topic that we hadn't discussed previously, and obviously you know him quite well, but that is the Stinger, a.k.a. Sting. We only really kind of really touched on it briefly, but he retired from the business at age 64. What did you think when you heard the Stinger was retiring? Were you saying about time, or were you saying
you know, this is was an awesome way to go out.
No, it was an awesome way to go out, and I think he was looking forward to retiring. I think he retired. Well, didn't he retire on his 65th birthday?
It was right around the corner, yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, and they did it the right way with his boys. It was done well.
Yeah, his sons were out there. That was really cool. And obviously one was Wolfpack Sting, one was Old School Surfer Sting. Very cool way to do it. That's one thing. Tony Khan may have not get a lot of things right, but he got Sting right, I feel like.
Oh, absolutely. He got that right. I mean, it's funny. When you're on a roll, you can't do anything wrong and you're very smart. Like when they first came out, right?
Yes.
You fall into a little off a pattern, and then you're not quite as smart as you were. I don't buy that. It's just that I didn't hear the whole.
Like you're saying maybe the perception of everything is going right, or maybe the perception everything is going wrong, and not necessarily it actually is?
Yeah, I don't think it's actually going wrong, all the way wrong, but you're competing. Suppose. Take WWE out of the equation. Would people be knocking AEW as much as they do now? It's now they're in a comparison of a race. And just so happens that WWE has hit upon some kind of magical pencil that Paul is wielding that's doing an incredible job, and everything they touch turns to gold. I mean, they're going to have a sellout in Paris. They're going to have a sellout in Scotland. They're going to have a sellout in Bastion, Berlin. I mean, how can they not look so gigantic right now? And everything they do is lauded and hailed as the greatest thing since sliced bread. Now, Tony, to some people, might have made a couple of errors with the Punk thing, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully it's out of the system, right?
Yep.
But it's, again, comparison. That's why I said it's when you are pushing that snowball uphill and you push it downhill, and when it starts to go downhill and take a life on its own, you can make mistakes, but they turn out to be the right thing. So that's where what I'm saying. It's just hard when you're down to get the snowball back on top of the hill. But when you get it on top of the hill and it starts to roll down, you pick up momentum and everything you do is right. When you're down at the bottom of the hill, it's hard to push that back up. So.
Yeah, AEW's definitely in the bottom of the hill right now. They're struggling. They're not doing that great. And, hey, it's crazy to think, you know, with Sting, 64 years old, just turned 65. But losing him, it seems like it was a big deal because his show that he did at Greensboro Coliseum drew about 16,000 people. People were very, very interested in that. And basically since then, man, I mean, not that, you know, he's the end-all be-all, but he was a draw for them to a certain extent, and they really struggled. They've got nobody right now, it seems like, even though they have a good roster.
Okay, you're saying they don't have nobody over, right? That's what you're saying.
Yeah, yes.
But one swoop, they lost Cody. They lost J.R. Gile, right?
Yep.
They lost Punk. Andrea, what's the other kid, Ricky?
Oh, Ricky Starks? No, he's still there.
Yeah. Oh, he is?
Yeah, he just hasn't really been on TV, but he's still there.
Okay, but they lost a lot of people, okay? And they also lost Sting, who's been, you know, one of the top drawers for the last 30 years. They've lost a lot of people. And yet, their talent is superb. So now we go into a scientific project here. Does great five-star matches draw you ratings? Or the storylines?
I think it's more storyline driven, for sure.
In this day and age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just a little baffled by some of the stuff that goes on over there. But you're right, losing Sting and losing all those guys was definitely bad. When you look at Sting and his exit, him and Darby were the final team. They wrestled the Young Bucks. Sting and Darby, who were the AEW Tag Team Champs at that point, went over. They did get the win over the Jacksons, Matthew and Nicholas. The Young Bucks was a 21-minute match. Greensboro Coliseum, like I said, about 16,000 people sold out. They actually had to add in some seats. They did some production kills because they wanted to get as many people in there as possible. So really good business for them, for AEW. But the only thing was that was kind of a one-time thing because Sting is 64, going to be 65, and he's retiring, and that's the icon, and he's gone. So it was good for one-night business. What can you do after that? They haven't been able to do much after that. So on one hand, it's awesome, and everything they did from that night is great. And then after that, it's like, okay, now what?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know what the answer is to you.
No idea. It just seems like, I don't know, maybe his loss is bigger than has been speculated. Like, you're thinking about Sting in his career. I feel like he was a big draw for them.
You didn't feel like he was a big draw?
No, I did. I felt like he was a big draw, but there were so many people online that said that he wasn't. But I don't know, I felt like he was for them.
I kind of agree with you. I did too.
Did you know how his relationship with Tony Khan started to begin with? Did you have any idea?
I have no idea.
So his son tried out for the Jacksonville Jaguars a few years ago. So that's how he met him. Like, people wondering, like, oh, this person must have introduced him. No, he found out that it's Steve Borden's son was trying out for the Jaguars. Obviously, he's a part of the organization, Tony, with his dad. So that's how he got a relationship with Sting, because his son was trying out for the Jaguars. So that's how Sting came to AEW.
Wow. That's amazing.
Obviously, Tony's a huge fan. He loves Sting. Maybe he would have found out a way to contact him and get him in to begin with. But man, that's perfect for him, you know.
Yeah.
Perfect way to get him in. Hey, you interested in wrestling? You want to hop aboard AEW?
Yeah, that sounds great. That's great. That's a storyline in itself.
And of course, his son never ended up making the team, but that's okay because Tony ends up getting the Stinger to come to AEW. So it kind of worked out in the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, before I get into his debut and all this other stuff, why do people question Sting's love for the business? What is that all about? Have you ever noticed a question mark as far as Sting's love of the business?
I don't know why people would question that. Explain that to me. I don't understand. Explain why they would question that.
So for whatever reason, they have this in their head that he doesn't love the business, even though he was in the business for 40 years. I've heard a few people say that, a few of the like Meltzer and even Russo and a bunch of the guys, pundits or whatever you want to call them, journalists, dirt sheet guys, they've said that, oh, he was never a fan. He didn't love the business because he wasn't a fan. That was like their big point of contention. And then they said, oh, he's just doing this for the money. It's like, well, to stick around for 40 years, I don't know. There's a point where you got to say he loves the business, no?
I just don't understand how people could say that. That is so far-flung fantasy. You should have a aluminum hat on your head. I mean, the guy got his knees destroyed, right? Pulling off the cage.
Yep.
Came back as quick as he could. He was always there when you needed him. I don't understand, because maybe he didn't know who Jim Lundis was. That makes him not a fan. He certainly used to watch the matches when he first started. I don't understand that. I just don't. I mean, I can't even. You've knocked my socks off so bad, I can't commentate on that.
Very strange, because I've heard that a bunch. And I said, wait, how is he not loving the business? He literally was in it for 40 years. How does that not love? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Always surprised. I think because they're trying to create like a narrative that he's like a money guy. He just did it for the money. Like, it's like they're all trying to create their own narrative, and then they feed that narrative with whatever story.
What, he wasn't supposed to get paid? Do you understand, like, when you're saying stuff like that? Not you, but people that say that, how bizarre that is.
It is strange. Like, people always said that about Hogan. I said, well, isn't it a business? You know, and Hogan would always say it's a shoot, meaning that he wants to make the most money because he's treating it like a shoot, like it's not a work, like he's doing this for real, like real money.
Right. And it is. The trips were brutal. The matches were tough. I mean, this baffles me. Everybody's an expert, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The thing is, too, with Sting, okay, so he could have been out of the business in 2001, came to TNA for a long time, longer than maybe he could have, or really, you know, maybe even should have at one point, but he was great in TNA, stayed there for a while, then he went to WWE, got inducted to the Hall of Fame, had a title match, short run, of course, but he hurt his neck. So after he hurt his neck, and he's in his 50s now, he hurt his neck, he still comes back and he wrestles 20-something matches, 30 matches for AEW. So, man, just crazy to when people say stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't even think we should waste time. Yep. I mean, those are the people that in the Middle Ages were sitting on the wall and were watching them fall off. They're dolts. You know, they play with their lips. I mean, God. And they're experts. Oh,
yes.
Please.
So he makes his debut 12/2/2020 in Jacksonville on Dynamite, basically in front of very few fans because COVID, the pandemic was going on, but they did allow some people in because of the outdoor part of that stadium in Jacksonville. He makes his debut. He saves Dustin, Cody, and Darby Allin from Team Taz and basically starts his relationship with Darby Allin right then and there. They become joint in the hip. He becomes the mentor to Darby Allin, the protege, and they team a lot going forward. Basically, all his matches are with Darby Allin going forward. They're all tag matches or six-man tags or, you know, multi-man matches. No singles, but he's really going to have – is that the smart way to do it? Do you like that that's what they're going to do with Sting in his last run?
Oh, I think it was you know, do you remember the table spot?
Oh, yeah.
We don't want that to happen before he retires, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But he would have got hooked up with the competitiveness to do something like that, and that's what he did. I think it was really done well. It kind of protected him from himself, that he didn't get. And those guys get, especially his partner, gets injured, right, and hurt.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So I think they did the right thing for sure there.
When you look at it, too, it was like an interesting pairing. At first, you didn't kind of know what they were doing, but obviously it's all trying to get Darby over. It's all about the rub of Sting onto Darby.
That's all it was, to get Darby over.
Do you think in that last match, I know we'll get to it, I just want to, before I forget to mention this, do you think that glass spot was needed in that last match with Darby Allin, that we jumped off the ladder into the glass?
You know, my thoughts are, why do that? Things could have turned very bad. Shards of glass could have went in the audience, could have went in Sting's eye, could have went in Darby's eye, their opponent's eyes. Why?
I was thinking it, obviously, that too, but I was thinking, isn't that going to take away from Sting's moment that he's taking this insane bump?
Well, you got to continue on. You know what I mean? But I just didn't like the glass. But that's my opinion and my taste. Some people might have loved it, so I'm not sure.
Man, eventually Darby Allin would get hurt in a match with Jay White, and before he was going to climb Mount Everest. So he was not. He's not doing that. He's out with a leg injury right now. But man, you're right. It could have been worse as far as just an injury at that pay per view at the Revolution pay per view.
Right. Right.
When you look at Darby and Sting, do you actually like them? Do you think they mesh well together? Do you think they have good chemistry together?
Oh, absolutely. It's like Batman and Robin. I mean, now Robin's going to turn into Batman. I think it was well done. That was one of the things they really did well.
If you're booking this, would you put Sting with Darby or would you put him with somebody else?
Who would you put him with? Tell me who you put him with.
I'm not sure. I haven't even really thought about it. I was just thinking if you thought Darby and him was like the kind of, you can't get more perfect than that. You like that combination.
Yeah. I mean, they very similar gimmick. Darby's into this time. Not saying Sting's not, but he's over for 30 or 40 years. He's a generational star, and you just gave the anointment to Darby. So I think it was done very, very well.
Do you think that he should have turned on him at all? Do you think Darby should have turned heel on Sting or no?
No, no.
Why not?
Why? What turn? Okay, you turn him heel, right, on Sting. Sting's retiring. What's that going to do?
Well, I was thinking maybe Darby goes over him. That's his last match. Darby gets the win. Really put him over.
But where do they go from that?
Oh, I have no idea. I was thinking maybe Darby gets some sort of big push.
Isn't he getting pushed as a babyface?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, before the injury, who knows? Because then he got injured directly right after the Sting match. So probably, right. That's probably where they were going.
Right. They were going to be, he was going to take, in my head, Sting's spot. He was going to be this generation's Sting. Who are you going to make this generation's Sting?
Right. I guess it could work for him.
Yeah.
So you're okay. You're okay with no singles matches for Sting, though, in this run.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think that was Sting's call, too.
His age probably did play a factor, I'm guessing, played a factor in wanting that. You know, he's in his 60s. He probably needs somebody to kind of carry most of the load or at least half the load as far as his wrestling.
Yeah, and your injuries start to wake up with you every morning when you hit that 60 mark.
You know what's great about him? Not that he doesn't look great without the makeup, but the makeup help. You almost forget that, and the way he moves, you almost forget that he's 64, 65 years old because of how well he moves. And the makeup, you know, you can't tell how old he is with the face paint.
Right, right. He's done a mock. That was piece. He's been very, very smart.
Crazy. Some guys that get to that age, they could barely move. They could barely walk. You know what I mean? And
right.
And he's jumping off, literally jumping off balconies.
Well,
right? And falling off stuff. Yeah, he's crazy. Taking huge bumps.
Well, when did he take all these huge bumps? Early or at the end of his career? I didn't see this at the end, did you?
Yep, all of his AEW matches towards the latter part of his career. Yeah, he was jumping off of balconies. He jumped off of a high-rise thing onto two tables, and the tables collapsed. Yeah, he was. He took insane bumps in AEW.
Yeah, I saw her at the end, but I'm not going to say those were pre-planned and they were safe. Those weren't. Some of the guys do now just do something. I'm sure he wasn't going to put himself at risk, knowing he was getting ready to retire.
Yep.
He did some great bumps, but I'm sure they had walked through that, made it as safe as they possibly could for him.
Can you believe that he would do that? Because, you know, at this point in his career, he's got nothing to prove. He doesn't have to do that stuff.
Yeah, it's his pride. For a guy that doesn't love the business, he sure did some crazy shit not loving the business.
Right. He must love it a little bit, yeah.
No, he ain't.
I was just like... Money. Right, exactly. I was just surprised that, like, okay, he's in his 60s at this point, and he's taking some of the bump. He didn't take some of those bumps when he was 30. You know what I mean? He didn't, off of the balcony stuff and, like, crazy stuff.
Right.
You know how they said, like, he rubbed off on Darby, you know, he gave him the rub? I think Darby's craziness rubbed off on Sting. You know what I mean? Like, that daredevil attitude rubbed off on Sting.
Yeah, I do, too. I did too. He was keeping up with the kid, which was very good. Yeah.
When you look at his run, too, okay, he's not going to be main eventing or anything like that. Obviously, like I mentioned, he's going to be in mostly tag matches with Darby or six-mans or, you know, multi-man matches with Darby Allin. But he's not going to be necessarily wrestling all top guys or main eventers. Like, his first match there was just a street fight on the Revolution pay-per-view from Daly's Place, Jacksonville, in 2021, he defeated Brian Cage and Ricky Starks, who are part of Team Taz. So, you know, not really high level. That, though, he's staying. He's got a huge name. People are interested in him, but he's not really wrestling anybody too high up on the card. Is that the smart way to go about it because of his age? Or what do you think about that?
He's an attraction. Having people come out to see Sting because they know it's getting close to the end. He's a giant attraction. He's giving you, and he's going to rub his, just Darby having him with him gives Darby a hell of a run. You protect Sting on the way out. And that was designed, and I think it was designed very well to end it that way.
One thing about Sting, besides his famous phrase, nothing's for sure, the one thing, though, he would always get a good reaction. He, like, who could sometimes be a little fickle or, you know, strange with some of the guys that they root for. They really showed him respect and always got a big pop when he came out. Like, he was always popular with the AEW crowd. Does that surprise you at all, just given the fact that they can be audience?
No, he's Sting, right?
Yep.
I mean, they grew up watching him. They grew up rooting for him. Yeah.
They could be a strange fan base, though. There's no doubt about that, some of the stuff that they enjoy.
Well, they sort of remind me of ECW fan base.
How so?
Well, do you think that ECW was playing to the mainstream?
Nope.
So you think AEW is playing the mainstream?
No, definitely not.
Well, that's why I said they're very similar, I think.
Well, I think the ECW fans were a little bloodthirsty. They were nuts, those fans.
Well, we're talking about two incidents of glass, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that is true. With some guys in, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
Sting was jumping off a balcony.
Yep, pulling a New Jack, yep.
Moxley, who I think is excellent, he gets a little juice once in a while.
Yes, every match.
So you don't think there's a... I could see it.
I just wasn't sure where you were going with it, but I could see that. What do you think about Moxley being the IWGP World Champion now? He just won the New Japan Heavyweight Championship.
I think it's great. It's great. I really like Moxley.
Were you surprised at all that he won it? I was shocked.
Why were you shocked?
Just because he's not a regular there, like, or maybe he will
where did this take place?
In Chicago.
Chicago. Doesn't that tell you something?
Obviously, New Japan and AEW are going to be doing a lot more business together.
Right. You knew that going into it, right?
Yeah, but I just didn't think he would win because usually the IWGP champion...
In Chicago? Yeah. You thought he was going to lose in Chicago?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Because I didn't think he'd be a regular there, so I figured he's not going to win the title.
Okay, they may not be regulars there, but who basically, Chicago's their home base, AEW, right? That's where
pretty
they
much.
Started.
Pretty much,
or is that where they started?
And that's where Tony's born, or around Chicago, yeah.
Right. I don't think that didn't surprise me at all because of the situation. Now, in Tokyo, it might have been different.
Right.
Yeah.
And somebody tells me there'll be a rematch in Tokyo, and he won't be leaving with the title. That's my guess.
I think that they'll have a rematch at one of the AEW pay-per-views.
Where he'll lose, Moxley?
Have a controversial finish and then maybe go to Japan and drop it. They could have a series that would last quite a while.
For sure. Yep.
Yeah.
Back to the Stinger. He beats Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky in a tag team match with Darby at Double or Nothing. They beat 2.0, which is Parker and Lee, in a tag match. They beat FTR in a tag match. They beat the Gun Club. Then on a Dynamite Holiday Bash episode, FTR and MJF lose to Darby, Sting, and CM Punk, who donned the face paint that night, which was cool and obviously a big sign of respect. You don't hear too much disrespect for Sting. You don't really hear too many people say anything bad about Sting as far as in the business. Am I correct on that?
Well, yeah, you're correct, unless you're one of the people who say he just was in it for the money.
Right. No, but I mean like the actual wrestlers, actual wrestlers.
The wrestlers admire him, and rightfully so.
Then Sting and Darby defeated the Acclaimed in a tornado match. Sting, Darby, and Sammy Guevara defeated Andrade, Cassidy, and Matt Hardy. In another tag team match, Darby, Shingo, and Sting defeated the Bullet Club, Phantasmo, and the Young Bucks. Darby, Sting, and Miro defeated the House of Black. Darby and Sting in a tag match defeated the House of Black. Darby and Sting also defeated Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal. Then we go to Japan. It was Great Muta's final match. Well, really final bye-bye, one of his last matches. It was a big show for Pro Wrestling Noah at the Yokohama Arena in Yokohama, Japan. Darby, Sting, and Great Muta defeated Hakushi, Marufuji, and Akira. So pretty awesome to think that Muta and Sting, and this was last year, this was 2023, but to think of Sting and Muta together one last time and this time in Japan, Pro Wrestling Noah this time.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. They were a big draw together. So it was wonderful to see that.
Very cool that Sting was a part of that, because obviously he was part of Muta's final tour, and Sting was a huge part of getting Muta over and a huge part of his career. Really, I feel like helped get Muta over here in the States.
Right. He did.
One thing about Sting that is almost underappreciated, he got Muta over, right? Big time. He got Vader over big time. He got Cactus Jack over. Those are some three pretty damn big names in the business that kind of went through the Stinger and he helped get over.
Yeah, he did. He certainly did.
You agree with that assessment that I'm making, that he got helped get those guys over?
Oh, without doubt he helped get them over.
Then Sting, Darby Allin, Orange Cassidy defeated Kip Sabian, the Butcher, and the Blade. Darby, Sting, Orange Cassidy, and Keith Lee defeated the Mogul Embassy. There is another New Japan AEW show that he was in.
We can run down this lineup. He didn't lose, did he?
Nope, that's what I was getting to. He never lost. Undefeated in AEW, won all of his matches. Do you like that?
Absolutely. I mean, it was good on the card. It wasn't a main event. It helped people to elevate. He was an attraction. He became an attraction at the end. When the Giant was an attraction, did he lose?
No. Rarely, yeah.
Okay. One of the biggest mistakes WWE ever made was beating The Undertaker at WrestleMania, right?
Yep.
So you gotta, when a guy's an attraction, you want the people to go home feeling happy with that match. You can't do it on the main event. You have to have heat. And eventually you pay it off, but you can't have an attraction. That attraction spot is to make people feel good, for them to get a pop, for their superhero to go over and defeat the villain.
So you're saying don't beat the attraction ever, though? You don't want to ever have him lose?
Why would you beat him?
I don't know, maybe really get somebody over?
Okay. If his spot is to make people feel happy, right? This is just my opinion. If his spot is to make people feel happy, then they go and see him. Next time he comes to town, are they going to be reluctant to go and see him?
Possibly, yes. Maybe you didn't pay to watch him lose. Well, you want to get that good time feel.
I always go back to boxing. What was Ali's last six fights? He didn't have a knockout, and there was fights that we turn our heads on decisions to Kenny Norton's, Jimmy Young, because he's Ali. We didn't pay to see Ali at the end get beat. When he first started, we did, but not at the end, because he was Ali. An attraction got to be taken care of in a special way. He got to that position because he connected with the people. He's going out. The people know it. He's got a limited time left. You're going to be the guy that makes the people feel happy.
That's a good point. What about when they're retiring? Because in this instance, the Young Bucks lose. Still don't want to beat them?
Do you know how much flack Tony would have gotten? If the Young Bucks aren't over by now, beating Sting isn't going to help. Because here's the main thing, JP. Where's the payoff if he retires? They just beat a guy that's 65 years old and retired.
Right, yeah.
I mean, sometimes we overthink this.
I actually like what they said after Sting retired after they lost. They didn't mention the loss. They just go, "Oh, we retired him. He won't wrestle here anymore." Like, they just played it up like heels, and obviously the crowd got angry, saying, "You know, you lost. What do you mean they're not here anymore?" Like, "Nope, we retired him."
Yeah, they did a great job. They did what a heel's supposed to do.
Looking back to, they won all in London, so you got that big pop, you know, pop Sting in front of that huge crowd over there. He got the team with Edge, which Edge was apparently said that Sting was the reason he got into the business. It was a huge, I guess, grew up in, I know he's from Canada, but he did grow up a lot, I guess, in North Carolina for whatever reason, but he was a huge Sting fan. I know he lives in North Carolina now, but huge Sting fan as well. Jericho got to team with him. So kind of got a bunch of, you know, quote unquote legendary guys that got to team with him too on the way out that I'm sure might've been on their bucket list or something that they wanted to do that. I'm sure they said to Tony, like Jericho or Edge has that type of sway with like, "Hey, we really want to team with Sting."
Right, right.
Which I think is cool. But basically, I think he was 28-0 in AEW, all, you know, multi-man matches, but he was undefeated, goes out on top, goes out beating the Bucks at the Revolution pay-per-view. The pay-per-view was wrapped around him, so it was all about him. His kids were out there. Tony, you know, as much as he's done some crazy things, he did that right.
Yeah, it was very good. Very good. We're going to miss Sting.
Now, looking back, and obviously, you know, we've talked about him plenty on the show. We talked about his WCW run on a prior episode. We're talking about, you know, his final crusade here, his final run, his retirement here. What's his legacy? How could you wrap Sting up and what's his stamp or legacy on the business?
He's one of the greatest of all times.
Where do you rank him on the all-time list?
You can't. You can't do that. I'll give you an example why you can't do that. You may know who Jim Lundis is, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think many people know who Jim Landis is?
Not a chance. Nope.
Okay. Would they be shocked to know that he drew more money than anybody till this day in the history of the business?
They would be shocked. Yep.
Okay. So how do you not even know who he is and he's not? And during the Depression, he was drawing 35,000 people to Comiskey Park, to Braves Field in Boston, to every big outside Yankee Stadium. Think about that, Yankee Stadium. So where I'm going with this is every era has their guys. Certainly, he reaches up to the top 10 from the 80s through his retirement.
I love that. I agree. Yeah. It's funny with Londos. I mentioned that him to somebody because I said, oh, he's one of the biggest draws. And they said, never heard of him, blah, blah, blah. But I was talking to somebody who really knows the business. And they said, you'd have to put like different Mount Rushmores together. And just like you said, put him in age like brackets, like, hey, 20s, 30s, 40s, Londos is in it, Fez is in it, you know, certain things. Then, like, you almost have to break it off. But I was surprised that some people that actually follow wrestling didn't know who Londos was. I was like, wow, you guys got to look at the biggest draws ever in the business, Londos. Right.
And going back to, not only did they not know that, they didn't know a promoter from Boston ran the whole North America. It wasn't a McMahon. It was Paul Bowser. He had his own champion, AWA champion, which the NWA allowed him to have. Think about that. One of Crazy. The rings that Luthez had was being AWA champion. So, you know, it's crazy. It's a very mixed blend of professional wrestling, what it's done. And that's why I don't think you can compare anybody, the four guys. They have to be, like you said, from 20s, 30s, and 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, the 80s, 90s, 2000s, yeah. Because you don't want to leave guys out that really paved the way.
Yep. Hey, didn't I just see your buddy Tom Burke on TV last week?
Yeah. Yeah, he's he's a real knowledgeable guy. I mean, he just sent me some programs that were from the 30s.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I knew you'd get a kick out of seeing him. I knew it. Yeah.
He's a good guy.
Let's wrap this bad boy up. You follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Kevin, what do you got going on in this crazy world?
I'll be in Minneapolis this weekend for the Comic-Con. So come on out and see me and say hello. Tell me how me and John are doing, okay?
Awesome. Sounds great. Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. See you right back here next time. Have a good one, folks. We'll be right back. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You can check us out on Facebook. You can subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. And buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies, brother. College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.
We love the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.